Blue Jays baseball is officially back, and we begin our season with a series split against Baltimore. Let's get into it. Good morning, everybody. It is Monday, March 31st, and welcome to episode 241 of Buds and Blue Jays. It's your place for all things related to the Toronto Blue Jays. Jesse Burrell joined by Jesse Tirisio. And on the episode here today, oh boy, do we have a lot to get into. It was four games, but what a whole lot did happen in these four games, from Max Scherzer having to go to the IL to Richard Lovelady, we hardly knew ya, and so much more happening in the Toronto Blue Jays series here in the opening series of the weekend. But first, Jesse, how does it feel to finally have regular season baseball back in our lives after a long, long offseason?
Oh, it feels so great to be back. It means the weather's getting better, even though we just had that ice storm across Ontario. But it means warmer weather's on its way, and it just feels so good. It just feels so right.
We've said this a lot as we went up on opening day, but it feels like the background noise of our life is back. Like, something all winter has just kind of been missing. And now that I can just turn on the TV and I can see Blue Jays highlights, I can see videos of people playing catch, just feels so much sweeter. And it's like that emptiness is gone. And that's just the optimism of baseball, baby. Glad to be back. Let's turn this into how the Blue Jays fared on the field here. And as mentioned off the top, it was a four-game split. So two games for us, two games for them. After this series, it might be a little early for standings watch, but I'll give it to you anyway. We currently sit in third place in the AL East with our 2-2 record, or a game and a half back of the Yankees, who swept Baltimore to begin the season. Our playoff odds have us at a 37.2% chance to make the playoffs, a little bit down from where we started, but a long, long way to go. Scores for the series, game one, Orioles 12, Jays 2, losing by 10 on the home opener. Yikes, sucked for us. But the Blue Jays came back in game two in a big way, and they won this game 8-2, followed by the Orioles taking game three 9-5, and the Jays in a nice pitcher's duel win game four 3-1. So Jesse, without further ado, give me your player of the series for the opening series against the Orioles.
Oh, for me, it definitely has to be the rookie. Alan Rowan. Like, we got to see his first career hit. He made spectacular plays defensively. He got his first RBI. It just is like everything we were talking about what he could do, he did. And it was so nice to see and not see him be like a deer in the headlights being in the big leagues.
Yeah, that was my biggest takeaway from watching Alan Rodon in this series. Also, first major league hit. Congratulations, my guy. Good one. Took a 90-mile-per-hour fastball, hit it right up the middle. Very nice to see. But he looked like he belonged in the big leagues, Jesse, and I think that was my biggest takeaway that I had seen. We've seen rookies come up in their first series and kind of they struggle. They look like they're out of place. Didn't get that vibe with Alan Rodon. And I also think the fact, too, that John Schneider started him in three of these four games, got that bat in all four games of this series, was a good omen that John Schneider and them believe in the talent that Alan Rodon has, and I think the best is yet to come for him.
Oh, definitely. And even like they were saying on the broadcast, like, you know, he's going to be a regular when they left him in for a lefty-lefty matchup. Yeah, he popped out, but still, if he wasn't going to be a regular at bats, they would have pulled him.
Yep, a good sign from all things involved. Alan Rodon, even though he just went a pedestrian 2-for-10 in the series, we thought he looked quite well, and we're excited to see from him. Jesse, my player of the series here is going to be Bo Bichette. And oh man, one of the biggest burning question marks we had coming into this season is what in the world are we going to get from Bo Bichette, Jesse? And I just want to tell you, he looks phenomenal. There was a stretch in the middle part of this series where I think he reached base in 8 straight at-bats. He finished the series 7-for-15, hit 2 doubles, even walked twice, which Bo Bichette doesn't do. And most importantly, Jesse, did not strike out once the whole series. Fantastic stuff from Bo Bichette. Ton of hard hit balls. I think he has 9 of them over the case of the series here. It's just he looks locked in from the get-go, coming off a good spring. And you and I said it all offseason, Jesse, if Bo Bichette is rolling and Bo Bichette is clicking, especially at the plate, then this team's upside is sky high. And I know it's just 4 games and there's so much you can take away from a small sample, but Bo Bichette looks phenomenal in the first part of the series, and I'm happy to see it.
Oh, definitely. And especially like how Jody looked in spring, and he kept that going, and like it definitely showed. And even like defensively, he's been looking good too. It's like he's looking like the Bo Bichette we all thought we should extend over him over Vladdy when all this was happening, like last year when Vladdy didn't have the season and had those down years. Like everyone say, oh, get rid of Vladdy, keep Bo. Like this is why we were saying this.
Yeah, good morning to it's going to be early for this, but if Bo Bichette just keeps this up, we're going to see a lot more of the let's extend Bo Bichette crowd. It's going to be rowdy. It's going to be loud. We're going to get there, and for good reason, if Bo Bichette keeps doing the things that he is doing here. Jesse, one more big piece of news here, and I'm going to turn this to you to discuss this, but what happened with Max Scherzer here, Jesse? Pitched three innings, 45 pitches, had to be taken out. We later found out he's going to the IL. He's going to miss an extended period of time. Jesse, what happened here?
This is the damn thumbing like issue. Like we were warned about it, saying how it caused issues. It caused him to have a lat tightness. Now he's seeing a hand specialist. Like this was a risk we took by signing him being a 4-year-old with all the mileage he has from like how much he pitched in his career with over 2,500 career strikeouts. Like he has done serious like toll on his body, and now this is what's happening. It's the risk, and now we're really have to go deep into our really thin starting pitching depth.
Yeah, this sucks for the Blue Jays and for Max Scherzer. Look, when he got his spring start pushed back a day, and we thought it was fine. He got into that game. He looked good at the end of spring training. We thought, okay, all systems go. But sure enough, reports come out now that he was dealing with this issue before the start and tried to power through. Jesse, I'm more mad that if Max Scherzer was feeling this issue before he got into the game, then he should have never taken the mound at all in this start. He lifted himself after three innings. And a quote I think he gave John Schneider was, there would have been immediate danger or danger was imminent if he would have kept pitching in that game, which... that's terrifying to hear, especially from a Blue Jays team who isn't just using Max Scherzer as a one more tour through the major league things. They are relying on Max Scherzer to be good and effective. And it sounds to me, Jesse, like we know he's out a minimum of 2 weeks. We'll see what happens with the specialist here, but I'm worried that this could be more of like maybe a month long absence or something. And we might not see Max Scherzer maybe into the month of May.
Oh, I know, definitely. And like, even I'm more thinking, like, what if it means he gets some work done and he's not back until the All Star break? Like,
right, that's which is a very real possibility.
It's going to really test the Jays in a situation like that. And yes, there are like some pitchers available like in the free agent that haven't signed, but it's not Max Scherzer, so it's like you get with what he is with the name and there's that resume.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be really tough to see too. As of now, it seems like Yariel Rodriguez, and we will get to Yariel Rodriguez in this episode, is going to be lined up, and he is going to start this weekend against the Washington Nationals. We will see how that goes. But already, Jesse, the Blue Jays pitching depth is taking a beating. Easton Lucas has been called up, who will come into our bullpen, who I might remind you has a career ERA of 8.52. So if this is the first line of pitching depth we are calling up, the Blue Jays pitching staff might be in trouble, and it might be the reason we don't win as many games as we think going forward. All right, Jesse, any more thoughts on that before we move on to the rest here?
I should have seen better myself.
All right, good. Lots more to get to. And where do you want to start, my guy? Do you want to start talking offense, which did some good things in the series, or do you want to turn it to the rest of the pitching staff? Let's say you.
Let's keep it on a positive and talk about the offense that we got to see. See in two, at least two of the games, I should say.
Yeah, pick a play. I'll pick one for you, Jesse. You wanted to give a shout out to Andrés Giménez and what he did in this series.
Oh, definitely. Like he showed us what he can do defensively, like with the glove and a couple spectacular plays, and like just everything that Zach from like told us about when we acquired him is like he definitely. Definitely proved to us why he was such a fan of him, seeing him defensively. But my bold prediction is starting to look good. He already has two home runs. I predicted 20. He's looking good in that cleanup spot. Like, I think the four spots is really see him have that resurgence with the bat from what he had in 2022.
isn't it hilarious that we spent all offseason talking about, well, if Santander's going to hit three, the Blue Jays don't have a real cleanup hitter. And then Andrés Giménez on opening day, when the Blue Jays still didn't have a hit, golfs one out into left center field for a home run. And then he hit another home run to have the Blue Jays team leading two home runs on opening series. The thing I like most about Andrés Giménez, particularly at the plate, the Zach Eflin one he took out was a curveball that kind of ran in on his hands, pulled his hands in nicely, hit it out. And then the home run he hit in the finale in game four was a fastball up and above the zone. I think it was 96 miles per hour. And he turned on that too. Good things from Andrés Giménez, even though he went just 4-for-12, he was doing things productive with the bat. And leave me encouraged. I think you leave him in the cleanup spot until that slump comes, because he's doing his job out of there.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
All right. I have lots on the offensive side to talk about here as well. And, ooh, boy. Shout out to Tyler Heineman, who hit his first career home run, one of three home runs the Blue Jays hit in this series.
Second career.
First one. Second career home run. First since, what, 2019, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, when it was the Marlins.
Yeah, and it came off Zach Wheeler, for goodness sake. So shout out to Tyler Heineman. I don't even think he knew how to put on that home run jacket when he was when he was getting it put on. But hey, look, the role of the backup catcher is a role we've talked about all spring. And if Tyler Heineman is going to run into the occasional bomb with his good framing, sign me up. A little bit of a thumbs up for Tyler Heineman. I wanted to talk a little bit here, though, about George Springer. And look, hitting cleanup on opening day, playing center field, which I feel like surprised a lot of us when we got there on opening day. But he did have a big two RBI double in one of these games, made a nice diving catch in center field. And the one thing I want to take away is in the finale of this series, George Springer, because now that they track bat speed and whatnot, George Springer swung his bat 81.8 miles per hour, which is the fastest he has swung a bat, I believe, since the data has become available to us late last season. That swing was the average swing that Giancarlo Stanton takes. And we know Giancarlo Stanton swings a mean, mean bat here. So I'm taking this as a positive from George Springer. If the bat speed is still there, maybe the decline isn't quite on hand, which we might have thought it once was.
No, like you said, he figured out what he was seeing wrong all last season during the offseason. And he fixed it. And like, if this is what we're going to see, I'm pleased. Obviously, I would like to see more of his hits go over the wall, but it's definitely encouraging signs.
Yes. All right. And then, Jesse, did you have anything you want to say? We haven't talked about Vlad yet, how Anthony Santander looked in his first series. Will Wagner had four hits, two doubles in the opening series here. Which out of those players impressed you the most?
Definitely Will Wagner, definitely showing that his little sample size last season wasn't just being an unknown commodity. Like, he was able to handle the bat, and why I was more raving about getting him when we traded for him in the Kikuchi trade last year. Like, he's definitely has like the good bat to ball abilities, and is actually will be able to produce for a while, and it's nice to see. And then for the other two, like, there was a lot of times with Vladdy that he was chasing, like, which he wasn't doing most of last year, as my cat is wants to make an appearance. But yes.
Shout out to your cat.
And literally, like, I was saying this every time he was striking out or looking bad, I was saying, there goes a million, there goes another million. But and Santander, yeah, he didn't hit any taters, but he definitely had looked good and was making some loud contact, especially at the game we were at on opening day, too.
Color me kind of impressed by Anthony Santander. Like, the Orioles, if any team is going to know how to pitch him, it's going to be the Baltimore Orioles. So I thought, you know, he didn't get off to the super hot start here, but there was some loud contact, some loud foul balls, and then a couple pop-ups, but also six strikeouts for Santander in this series is not what you want to see. Vlad also had six strikeouts in this series, but I want to actually, I'm leaving this series more as a positive from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. We talked about the nine hard hit balls that Bo Bichette hit. Well, Vlad also had nine hard hit balls. I think his average exit velocity at some point was over 100 miles per hour. When he did square it up and make contact, the exit velocity MVP type guy was still in there. It's not going to be long before Vlad, that ball goes over the fence. He is peppering that right center field gap a lot in this series. It's just, I see what you see here, Jesse, when he has those at bats where none of the pitches are close opening day, he swung at a curveball that I'm pretty sure was like almost in the on deck circle. It was the furthest away he's ever swung at a pitch. Like, Vlad gets amped up sometimes for these big moments and gets out of himself. Think about like the playoff games, opening days, like all these big events. And if he can just rein that in just a little bit, the sky is the limit for how good of a hitter Vlad can be. And I wish we would see that just a little bit more going forward in his career as he matures.
No, exactly. And like, if he could rein that in, then it'd be no doubt give him that $600 million because of these at-bats and where he gets hands up and isn't his what we know he's going to be. It really does hinder us a lot, but do we really have to pay him this much money?
We will see, and it'll be a topic we are going to discuss a lot going forward. Two more pieces on the hitting side before we start talking pitching. Alejandro Kirk had a very nice hard hit ball down the line. He started three of the four games. He also got thrown out at second base. So, like, Kirky, I love that you're trying to show that speed element. I know you're running a little bit faster, but you still got to know your limits. Maybe down by 10 in the first game of the series was not maybe the best spot to try this, but shout out to Alejandro Kirk there. And then Ernie Clement, just because, look, Ernie Clement had a curveball off of his shoe tops, and he hit it for a double. I don't know how Ernie Clement does these things, Jesse. Sometimes it's wild. But do you take anything in the fact that Ernie only started two out of the four games in this series? It was for right-handed pitchers for Baltimore, so maybe that has something to do with it. But Ernie was really good last year, a high WAR player, and now only starting every other day, it seems like, for this Blue Jays. Do you have a thought on that?
Definitely is shocking that he only, like, he split the series with Wagner at third. But again, Ernie Clement, I almost feel like he's for Guerrero with how like bat ball hitter he is. Like, last year, Hagel was at his eyes, down at his feet for homers. And even this double is like, he makes contact and it's and like, he's not someone who'll strike out a lot. He'll like attack the pitchers. But again, there was a moment in the first game where me and you were just like, Ernie swinging at this when it, we knew the pitch would probably be out of the zone and was a rally killer.
Yeah, exactly. So worth paying attention to. And let's monitor the playing time. When everyone's fully healthy, though, it does seem like Ernie Clement might be the odd man out. All right, Jesse, let's talk pitching here. And we had some good, some bad, some ugly, and as things normally go in the four-game series. The good here, Jesse, I will say, Chris Bassitt, phenomenal. Six innings pitch, gave up a lot of hits, but only one earned run. Really, the Blue Jays needed the length too and got it. Kevin Gausman looked pretty good in his start here as well. He had six innings pitched, three hits, two earned runs, one walk, and four strikeouts. Max Scherzer was not good, gave up a couple home runs before he left for injury. And then Jose Berríos on opening day, a stinker. Lots of ways you want to go. Which pitcher do you want to talk about here?
Oh, definitely Bassitt. Like, realistically, it should have been a like no run earned runs and all that, because that the run that they scored on yesterday was cut of a pass ball where it was like kind of in try to backhand instead of putting his ball in front of it. And right. But like, again, everything that Bassitt wasn't last year, he was yesterday's game. He looked like the Bassitt from a few years ago where he pitched to 200 innings. Yes, there was contact, but if they're hitting the ball where people are, that means it's going to be an L.
Yeah, he pitched really well. And the thing I like the most, he threw 106 pitches. Like, John Schneider wasn't afraid to just let Chris Bassitt eat on the first start of the year. And we've talked about this before. Like, Chris Bassitt, historically a very slow starter. So, especially coming off the starts we've seen early in the series, Chris Bassitt going out there and shoving was very important for the Toronto Blue Jays here, and he did just that. I'm most impressed, Jesse. He generated 21 chases on his pitches yesterday, which means the pitches Baltimore was swinging at were pitches that were not in the strike zone. The fact they still got eight hits off him, I don't really know how that worked if he was getting so many out of the zone. But the recipe for pitching here, mixing all his pitches, I think he threw five pitches more than 10% of the time, was a good one. And the Blue Jays needed the length, and Chris Bassitt buckled down and got the job done. Mad thumbs up for Chris Bassitt in this start here. Jesse, simple question. What happened with Jose Berríos on opening day?
As he said, he just didn't have it. Like, we've figured when we were watching them too, like, I think it live, like, well, those were some hard hit ball. Like the first out was like a screamer, and we're like, okay. Second batter, homer. I think by the end of his outing, he just had a bad case of whiplash with how much he was watching the ball go over the wall.
Yeah, not ideal. And this is the second time now, or third time, Jose Berríos has started on opening day. He was fine last year in Tampa, but you'll remember the start last time at home against Texas, where he only got two outs that whole game. And that season was a very dreadful season for Jose Berríos. But I do want to say a few stats caught my eye here. The three home runs Jose Berríos gave up, he did have a couple starts last season where he did give up three home runs. So maybe not the most worrisome there, but the nine hits he gave up, Jesse, he had not allowed nine hits in a start all of last year. All 32 starts he made last year, he never allowed nine hits. The fact that he did in the first start here isn't that good. But I'm leaving more encouraged than the earn line data might say it was. Because a lot of it, I think, was simply just command. The swinging strikes were there. The contact rates were all right in line with his career averages. I just think simply Baltimore had a good plan of attack against him, and his mistakes were just, they were hit. They were hit today. Sometimes they won't be, and honestly, you don't want your number one starter to be making that many mistakes, but I think ultimately that was what happened here today, and it should be a simple fix if Jose Berríos can get his command back.
Oh, definitely. Like, again, how many times has Baltimore seen him? Like, the have a good game plan for attacking them and all that. So, well, I'd rather him have a sinker early in the season than in a game that really is crucial. So I'll take it earlier, and hopefully it's not a trend of what the season's going to be like, but it was just one bad start, and he's going to be what he was for most of last year. I'll take that any day.
Betting on the track record seems like a smart move for Jose Berríos, who has been inconsistently consistent over the past several seasons. So we'll see about that going forward. Jesse, Kevin Gausman, six innings pitch, three hits, two earned runs, one walk, and four strikeouts. What did you think about his performance on Apple TV, even though we couldn't see it?
If we didn't see it, did it really happen? No, it did happen, and definitely impressed. He looked like him, his old self, like when healthy. Yes, the K's weren't there like when he first joined the Jays, but like I definitely was impressed. And it, again, it was the first start, so if he can build on that, it could be back to what we're used to seeing Kevin Gausman in the last few years when healthy.
Yeah, we've been talking about the velocity all spring. His fastball got as high as 98.2 miles per hour. Jesse, when was the last time we saw Kevin Gausman throw a 98 miles per hour fastball? Probably his first year here, I'd say.
I was going to say the time when he was with the Orioles as a rookie.
No, he's thrown them since then. But yes, that's going to the saying, though. It's been a long, long time since we've seen that fastball velocity on Kevin Gausman. I will say it wasn't all peachy. He did allow eight hard hit balls, but you know, Kevin Gausman's always kind of allowed hard contact through his whole career, even when he was dominant and getting those Cy Young votes with the Giants and his first few years with the Blue Jays. That's always kind of been in his game. And he did benefit from some very nice defense behind him. We talked Alan Roden off the top. That was when Gausman was on the mound. Vlad made a nice play. Bo Bichette made a very nice play behind Kevin Gausman in the hole. So he got good defense, which, hey, that's how the Blue Jays built their team, though, is with good defense, which will benefit our starting pitchers. So overall, a good start from Kevin Gausman. And I know we already talked Max Scherzer, Jesse, who did leave the game, but in his three innings pitch, gave up a home run to the second pitch he threw as a Blue Jay, gave up another one, but then went through and settled down and retired the next seven straight. It's a lot to make anything out of three innings when we know he was dealing with the lat injury, but did you have a thought on Max Scherzer's three innings here?
It was just fun to watch, like those three innings. <Yes. laughs> Like, it was just so cool to watch, see Max Scherzer today, and like when he was on that group, like game the seven in a row, it was just like, I was getting hype, and then that happened. But if it's gonna be a while till we see him do that again, it was fun. It was definitely fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. And it won't be the last time this season. We hope that this happens for Max Scherzer. Let's talk bullpen, Jesse. And the big news out of the bullpen was when Max Scherzer had to leave the game, our old friend Dick Lovelady came into the game. And oh boy, the ladies were not loving him in this series. In game one, he, and I have the notes here somewhere. He came in and did not look good. I think he hit a guy, he walked a guy, then got out of the inning, and then he looked even worse in this one. Could not throw a strike, Jesse. And the worst part was he faced what? I think five of the six batters he faced were lefties. He did not get them out. And if you're the second lefty in the pen and you could not get lefties out on top of hitting guys, like, he came into the game, the Blue Jays had a two-run lead. He left the game, the Blue Jays were down by two. And the Blue Jays decided that was enough. When just 5 days ago, they thought Richard Lovelady was the right guy for the job. Two pitching appearances and a meltdown in there. They've decided, see ya. We don't want to be in the Lovelady business anymore. Mason Fluharty, who I know you love, Jesse, has been recalled and will now be that second lefty in the pen. Walk me through this here and tell me what we should think about this.
Well, he really dicked us around. And Yarbrough looked pretty good in our universe of those awful pinch stripes. He can join that toilet with Zach Poop. Like he can go to the freaking closers I hate, and there's people know me. There's a lot of them I hate, bullpen guys, and yeah, like literally, it was fun. Like it was a fun joke until we really saw him pitch, where he really was a joke.
Yeah, we'll see. Look, he'll always have that second half he had in Tampa last year, but he was bad this spring, and he was quite bad in this opening day. He's got some stuff to figure out on. Jesse, you mentioned Ryan Yarbrough, and I want to bring that up, even though he's gone, and Blue Jays fans are probably going to be like, well, he's not even on the roster. Why are you talking about him? But the whole reason why he wasn't on this team is because the Blue Jays didn't want to carry two long men, and they were adamant about Yariel Rodriguez being stretched out. Well, now, if Yariel Rodriguez has to go into the rotation to fill Max Scherzer's spot, we now have no long man, and Ryan Yarbrough would have been absolutely perfect for that role. Instead, we're going to rely on Easton Lucas, who I said off the top has a very high ERA, to fill that long man role. Just seems like mismanagement on the Blue Jays front, or if Ryan Yarbrough did indeed opt out, that's his right. But this is looking like an early candidate for worst move of the season so far.
Oh, it definitely is. And like especially now with the Scherzer injury too, it's like a good old head scratcher.
All right, Jesse, for the rest of the bullpen here, I'll let you be the positive guy, and I'll be the negative guy here. The best standouts of the bullpen were clearly Jeff Hoffman, Jimmy Garcia, correct?
Oh, definitely. And even I got to shout out Yariel Rodriguez. Like, yeah, his first outing on this game on Thursday was awful. But, boy, he looked good as in the eighth inning on Sunday. I was like, this is what I could. I'm like, I like him in here right now. With the Scherzer injury, him going into the rotation for a possible start is just like, why? He looked so good as a back end of the arm.
Okay, so let's talk about Yariel Rodriguez before we get into Jeff Hoffman, et cetera, because we had been talking all spring about, is the right play for him to be in the rotation or is it to be in the back end of this bullpen? And the first kind of bulk outing he got, he did not look good. But then he comes in here, pitches the eighth. John Schneider trusted him with the lead, by the way, a 3-1 lead to come into the eighth here because Jimmy Garcia was down. And yeah, he gave up a hit, and the hit he gave up was a center pitch. So there is still some of that in that game. But the fastball velocity looked up a little bit. He got two strikeouts in this appearance. Really did seal the job. And John Schneider, just 13 minutes ago, just said to him, for Yariel Rodriguez to go out and pitch like that with that kind of conviction, it's a huge plus for us. Look, Jesse, Yariel Rodriguez has been in this role before. He's pitched in Japan. He's been a closer. He has touched upwards of 100 miles per hour coming out of relief. The signs are telling you that that is a spot he's comfortable in, and that is a place we think he can excel in. Please don't mess this guy up. There is value of having a very good middle reliever for the next few years. And I think you and I are both kind of on the side now. Maybe just putting him in the bullpen, letting his stuff play, where the command issues maybe won't be that big of a deal, might be the better move for Yariel.
No, exactly. And even in the broadcast, Buck McNeil was saying, trust your fastball, throw it down the middle, make it quick, because that means less time than he gets more pitch to pitch. They have more of an idea of what you're going to throw and how it's going to look. Even his slider, I believe it was for his third strikeout, was just the break on it and how much it snapped out, just screams back end of the bullpen, setup man, or even a closer. it just looked so natural for him. And while we watch him start, it looks like he's like to outer space, like not ready for it.
Right, and the Blue Jays are going to do with Yariel what we did with Nate Pearson when he was here. You're going to see the stuff and be like, well, if he could just click as a starter, he could be really good. Nate Pearson never made it as a starter, and you can fault that's the Blue Jays' fault. When a lot of people for years were saying, this guy throws 100, put him in the bullpen, he's got wipeout stuff. Yariel Rodriguez is very much the same, and I'm very worried. You know, we still hear for 4 more years that the Blue Jays are going to do this exact same thing with Yariel Rodriguez, and I think part of the reason why they're doing it is because they know they have nobody else in the starting rotation depth. And I think that's going to be the ultimate biggest downfall of this Blue Jays team if we don't go there. And Yariel Rodriguez is a big reason why.
Oh, no, definitely. Like, it's on the Jays to figure it out. But us as fans pretty much know where Yariel is the best suited.
I think we're with you there. If you agree with us, let us know in the comments, and we will talk a little bit about Yariel Rodriguez there. But Jesse, Jeff Hoffman, Jimmy Garcia, shout out Jeff Hoffman. First big league save, looked dynamite in that last one. Got a ground ball, great play by Andrés Giménez behind him, and then struck out two for his first save as a Toronto Blue Jay. Got to feel a little sweeter coming against the Baltimore Orioles, who turned down his contract after failing a physical last year, so that's got to be nice. I also thought he looked pretty good in his appearance in Game 3 as well. Jimmy Garcia, not available for Game 4, but did pitch in Game 2 and Game 3, and looked like classic Jimmy Garcia. He's back. He's so good. He's throwing gas. Just effortless stuff there. Two thumbs up. The back end of this Blue Jays bullpen, I'm quite confident to say, not a problem. They look good and they look locked in.
Hoffley, and Jimmy Hears, like, it is just so wicked to see them and, like, how good they look. And I'm so glad we got Jimmy Hears back. Like, and now we have those prospects because of him. And it's like, it's really great, and like, what a sort like a story too for Jeff Hoffman, like being drafted by Jays, getting that save, is and even a wicked late show, like, it's definitely fun to watch.
Yeah, good call. We were actually curious to see what the light show would look like for Jeff Hoffman, and if you've been able to see it, that was pretty cool. I love that type of stuff. Jesse, we got our first look at Nick Sandlund, Toronto Blue Jay, pitched 2 1/3 innings, did not give up a run here in this series. How did you think Sandlund looked for his first time as a Blue Jay?
I was definitely impressed. Like, he looked good in that blowout that we were at. And even the second out too, like, closing down the game, he definitely looked better than what people were talking about in the offseason, how he was. I definitely didn't have any complaints. Again, it's early, but right now, he's a nice piece of that middle relief role for us.
Yeah, the 3 walks are tough. You don't want to see your relievers walking guys, but he also didn't allow a single hit the whole series. So, you know, if you can, it won't last that way. He will give up hits as the season goes on. But, you know, anytime your middle reliever can come in and not give up a hit the whole time, that's a positive. I like that. Shout out to Brendan Little, who was dealing with a little bit of an injury, had to be removed, but it seems like he's okay. He came in and looked quite good. Shout out to him coming out of that bullpen, who is definitely moving up the depth chart. And Chad Green, who did give up 2 home runs in this series, Jesse. It's early. You don't want to make much out of bullpen performance. In fact, he's only faced 8 batters so far this season. I know after game 1, when he came in and gave up a dinger there, that John Schneider was saying he didn't like the pitch calling from Alejandro Kirk, and he didn't like the execution from Chad Green. Remember, he was really good last year and then really struggled in the month of September. Did have a good spring, though. How do you feel about Chad Green's performance here?
Again, it's early bullpen. Like, the thing about bullpens too is, like, they have bad outings and they just stick out like a sore thumb. But when they're doing so good, we don't talk about them. That's so, like, exactly. It is early. It's early. I wish he wasn't getting hit around like that? Yes, but he's done before. He'll figure it out. He'll be a good piece to, like, the middle relief to back into the bullpen, too, when we're fully healthy and fully staffed.
And then my next question is simply about Jacob Barnes. How much longer does he stay on this roster?
I'm surprised he didn't go with the Dick Express.
I think they're waiting for Ryan Burr, Eric Swanson, one of those guys to get healthy here, or maybe somebody interesting to come up off waiver wires. But look, Jacob Barnes, you're going to get 1 or 2 more outings to prove you deserve to be on this team. Take advantage of it, or else see ya. you'll be gone as well. That was a lot of notes we had from on the field. Some good, some bad, and that'll happen when you split a four-game series against a division rival. I want to talk a little bit about the stuff off the field, Jesse. And first, I got to talk about the toque you're wearing, my guy. Looks great. Looks sharp. Honestly, they're better than I thought they would be getting up there. How do you like it that they gave away on opening day?
Oh, definitely. Again, like at first, both of me, you and me were like, seven, like really toques like for opening day. I saw them, I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. They kind of grew on me, and definitely was nice to have this weekend with all the freezing rain and all that. And yeah, it's definitely another chance to add to the collection, especially now, like, being the Jays, and it's still cold here. And, like, if I wore it with my baby blue jersey, it works well.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it'll be great in October when the Blue Jays are going on a run and you're feeling a little cold and a little chilly. It'll be a great look there. I liked it. I was a fan. They grew on me a little bit. Jesse, we were in the crowd on opening day, and the fans were not happy losing by 10 runs on opening day. There were some cool things I picked up here, which I don't know if it was that audible to hear on the TV broadcast, but I like that we were doing a roll call for all the players, and all the players were acknowledging us out in right and center field. I thought that was really cool. And what do you take about the Fire Atkins chance, Jesse? It took three innings before the Fire Ross Atkins chance came down from us fans. If anything, it shows that we mean business this season. If you think the front office has a sense of urgency, us fans have a sense of urgency here too. What was your take on that?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely fun doing the roll call and seeing the players actually acknowledge us. It definitely was fun, especially when we were saying right behind Al Rhoda, and he turned around to, like, being his first game and, like, not shying away from it was really cool. And even, like, seeing the players' reactions to it was pretty wicked. But the Fire Atkins, it shows how frustrated this fan base is and grumpy we still are with the moves and little moves, we should say, that Atkins has done, and how much he's pretty much depleted this team from the window of championships, he was saying, and just a lot of frustration, and like fans are now tired of it and definitely can see too. Yes, it was a nice storm. I understand that, like, why a lot of fans weren't there on Sunday, but it can definitely be a lot of frustration too with this management and organization with the lack of urgency and wanting to win and going for it all.
Yeah, this upcoming series against the Nationals is going to be a very true test for attendance here, because April games typically don't do as well, especially these early April games, these midweek April games. Nationals aren't really the biggest draw in baseball right now. We will note how the attendance looks this series, because Mark Shapiro himself has even said, yeah, attendance, ticket sales have kind of gone down this year. And that's tough for them. So we'll follow that going forward. Jesse, the big story across all of baseball have been those cheating Yankees using those torpedo bats. And reports came out from Mitch Bannon over at The Score that Davis Schneider has been using one of these torpedo bats. And if you don't know what they are, it's a bat that basically the barrel of the bat has been moved in a little closer to the handle. It almost looks more like a paddle than it does an actual bat. But apparently they're legal across Major League Baseball, and apparently they're going to be allowed to use it. And apparently Davis Schneider is going to be the one to use those. And for a guy who really needs to get to those high inside fastballs that jam him on his hands a little bit, I think that makes a lot of sense. But Jesse, what's your take on these torpedo bats that are making their way around Major League Baseball?
The damn Yankees ruining baseball. I understand the concept of, this is where, to eliminate swing and misses and all that. But, this is the stuff, you're ruining the historic and, bringing culture of baseball, changing the bat. When you think of a bat, you don't think of one looking like a frame, something you see in, in a parent's nightstand or something like that, something awful like that. It's stupid. It reminds me of, almost like one of those T-ball bats you give a toddler. It's not truly. And if these players are good enough to hit a ball, they can use any regular bat and not freaking use that. It's if they want more home runs and more barrels, then like be better or let them use steroids, like or just the ball. It's like you don't need like these bats are just horrendous.
Look, at first I was kind of outraged when I saw this too, because I was like, what the hell is this? It's, you know, the old adage in baseball was hitting a round ball with a round bat, and it was one of the hardest things to do. Now if your bat isn't as round anymore, it leaves a bad stink taste in your mouth, especially because the Yankees hit a billion home runs against the Milwaukee Brewers, and now you're kind of putting two and two together. Look, if this is legal and you're allowed to use it, then everybody should be using these things. And it's going to suck. It's not going to feel the same anymore. I get that. But until Major League Baseball comes out with a rule against this, then you have to be using it. It's the same thing with the sign stealing stuff. Until Major League Baseball cracked down on that, you had to use it. Same thing with spider tack. When guys started using that, if you weren't using it, you were falling behind. And the Blue Jays need to do everything they can to get back there. And look, it's going to suck. But I want to see a shipment of these bats in the Blue Jays clubhouse as soon as tonight to get there, especially for some of the guys who, you know, struggle barreling up the ball consistently. Looking at you, George Springer, maybe this could be a good reason to get these in our system. And honestly, yeah, use it until they outlaw it.
Yeah, for me, it's like, yeah, it's like with all the things like this, the sticky stuff and sign stealing and all that, it's like, yes, it was part of the game and stuff like that, but it's just all the other stuff, like using technology.
It feels dirty, right?
It just doesn't feel like what, like my grandfather, our parents grew up and taught us the love of the game. It feels like it's just tarnishing the historic of baseball and all that.
Yeah, and I'm an analytics guy at heart, too. I'm usually all about the data, all about the advancements in the game. I'm feeling kind of icky about this one, too. So not sure I'm a big fan of this one. Jesse, some prospect notes, turning things back to the field here. In Buffalo, they started their season 1-1 with a rainout down there. Shout out to Joey Loperfido, who hit his first home run down there, also stole a base. Shout out to Addison Barger, who got hit in the face with a pitch in game one. He's fine. He's a tough kid. Hit a home run in game two. Massive one. Orelvis Martinez was scratched from the lineup. He's been dealing with this illness all throughout spring. Seems like it's not gone away as he was pulled from the game. And just Arjun Namala and Fernando Perez, they are going to start the season in High A Vancouver. So Arjun Namala probably won't see the big leagues this year, but he is in a position now where if he starts off well, he could be in as high as Buffalo by the end of the season. So good stuff there. Jesse, I know you love Addison Barger, and I know you have thoughts on all these players. What do you think about the guys on the farm having a good start?
Well, definitely. Even Rainer Nunez being in AAA, being one of the hardest hit balls this early in the season. Like, just seeing him having that, and like I was saying, like I feel like he could possibly make this roster, like if we are blowing up, because of the power he possesses, and like could be, if Vladdy's gone, the replacement for Vladdy at first. And yeah, Addison Barger getting hit in the face. It didn't hurt him because he has too much muscle on it. The wind just bounced off. And he just flexed his jaw and just like, he's like, I didn't feel that. But no, like him and Loperfido having him bombs at over 100 miles per hour off the bat. Power's a low hanging fruit. But yeah, our leading home run hitter is Andreas Giménez. So I feel like that pop can definitely help the big club too eventually.
Yeah, we'll see. Especially if the Blue Jays go in an offensive slump, we'll be looking at a guy like Addison Barger to come up. Honestly, I'd check out that baseball that hit him in the face. That ball is probably more scared than Addison Barger would be from getting hit with the ball. Your note on Rainer Nunez, got some work to do at first base. Addison Barger was playing shortstop, threw a ball across the diamond, and Rainer Nunez just couldn't handle it. So some work to do defensively, but if you're looking for a guy who can do some damage right away, he'll be a very interesting name to watch down in Buffalo this season. Jesse, we don't have a ton of time to preview this upcoming series against the Washington Nationals. Probable pitchers tonight, we get our first look at Bowden Francis, who will face Canadian Michael Soroka in what will be a very fun pitching matchup this evening. Then we get the return of Jose Berríos facing Trevor Williams, and then Kevin Gausman on Wednesday will match up against opening day legend Mackenzie Gore. Got a prediction for this series? How will we do? A player you're excited to see, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm definitely excited to see the young core on Washington with like Cruz and Wood, and like seeing them play, because again, like there's so much hype around them. But I'm just looking forward to seeing my guy Bowden Francis show why he's last year was no joke and start his run for the Cy Young.
Yeah, give me a prediction on his pitching line tonight.
Let's go 7 1/3, eight punchies.
Damn.
And 95 pitches.
Okay, that would be a hell of a start. Means he's efficient and he's getting good defense behind him. I'll be more modest. I'm going to go 5 1/3 innings pitch, two-run run. So he'll give up a two-run home run in there somewhere. He'll walk two, strike out five. We'll see how it goes. But either way, I'm thinking a Blue Jays win against Michael Soroka, who struck out a lot of guys in relief with the White Sox late last season. So if the Blue Jays bats struggle, it could be because Michael Soroka is finding it again. We will take out to that. Jesse, I'm going to predict 2 out of 3 for the Toronto Blue Jays here. Jose Berríos bounces back in a good way, and the bats come alive a little bit. Do you have a series prediction for us?
I'm going to break out the brooms.
Oh, baby. Optimism is high, and that would be great if we could be 5-2 or even 4-3, leaving this first homestand of the season. I think would go well for the Toronto Blue Jays. Jesse, anything else you wanted to add before we get out of here?
Nope. Glad baseball's back. Again, like you said, the background noises of our life is here, like other than my daughter and all that fun noises I get to hear. But yeah, baseball's back. Weather's going to be getting better. If you want to chat with us, hit us up on all our socials. We'd love to hear from you guys. And also a big shout out to the guys at Blue Jays today and the walk-off for everything at the Amsterdam Brewery before the game on opening day. And yeah, it definitely was a fun time, even though we got blown out at the home opener. It was definitely a good time.
Blue Jays baseball is officially back, and we will be back on Wednesday to recap these series against the Washington Nationals and hoping for another Blue Jays series dub. For Jesse Tricio, I'm Jesse Burrell. Thank you all for watching us this morning, and let's have a big series against the Nats, and let's go Blue Jays.
Thanks, guys.